Our scripture is found in 2 Peter 3:9 and then Ezekiel 9:4. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And then Ezekiel 9:4, and he said to him, "Go throughout the city of Jerusalem and put a mark on the foreheads of those who grieve and lament over all the detestable things that are done in it." May God's blessing be on the reading of his word. Ash Wednesday marks the beginning of Easter season, where we come to prepare to remember Christ's death on the cross and, of course, his resurrection, his payment for our sins on the cross, and then his victory over death, which is our hope that in Christ we have life after death and resurrection. The focus of Ash Wednesday is repentance. John the Baptist, when he preached a message of repentance. Turn away from sin and turn to the Lord. So what does it mean to repent in the biblical sense? If you look at a secular dictionary, you'll read that repentance means to be sorrowful and sad and to grieve and weep over something that you've done wrong. You catch your child or something doing something wrong when they're little, and they weep and cry and they want to be forgiven and accepted back. And the secular sense of repent means that, to feel bad about something that has gone wrong, to be sorry for your sins. But the secular sense of repentance, the definition of it, really misses the real underlying meaning of what it means to repent. Repent means actually to change your mind. To change your mind. And then once you've changed your mind, to change your direction, to change the trajectory of your life, to change your heart and what you're going to do next. It's a complete reorientation of life after you've changed your mind about something. In the spiritual sense, it's really a fundamental change of the heart, isn't it? I've changed my heart. I've changed my affections. I've changed what I now hold to be true and dear. In the Christian sense, it's the person who's, that initial repentance, it's that person who's lived without Jesus all their life up to a certain point. And then they change their mind about needing Christ and needing God in their lives. And with the pull of the Holy Spirit and the message of the gospel, they see life differently. And they put their faith in Christ. And hopefully that new faith in Christ just changes everything about their life. Before, they lived in disobedience to God's word. Now they want to please the Lord with everything they've got and how they live, how they speak, how they interact with the people around them. And so it results in somebody says, "I've repented," but nothing's changed. You think, well, have you really repented? Repentance means we change our mind, but then our life changes as well. In 2 Peter 3:9, Peter says that the Lord desires that all who live in spiritual darkness would change their minds about him, that they would repent and change directions. And it says that the Lord he's not coming quickly because he wants to give as many people as possible to have that opportunity to repent, to change their mind about him and about the Lord. In Matthew 7:13-14, Jesus said that the highway to hell is broad and the gate is wide for all who choose its ways. And remember, Jesus says here, they choose that way. They made up their mind to live life without the Lord, to leave Christ out of it. That's a deliberate decision on the part of the people who are on that highway. And Jesus desires that many change direction, that instead of the wide gate, they choose the narrow gate. In fact, at the beginning of this passage, he says, go on the narrow gate that leads to life. Make sure you get on the right path. And his desire is that many change directions and leave the highway to hell and repent, change their minds. This is the first and foremost important repenting, changing our minds to follow Jesus, receive his forgiveness, and become his believers. But repenting isn't a one-time event in life. Some of you have lived the Christian life for a while. You know that often we find ourselves repenting all through the Christian life. Because we, as we grow, we find that our lives really don't match up with how the Lord would have us see the world and how we live out our life. And so the repentance is, okay, there are certain areas of my life that are not in conformity with Christ, and I need to change my mind about how I'm living and how I think about the world because of Jesus. And so the Lord is constantly at work in us through his Holy Spirit, working on our conscience, working on our heart to say, hey, wait a minute, there's something here that's not quite lined up. You're thinking in a way that is not the way I think. And you're seeing the world in a way that isn't the way that I see it. And so the Lord pulls on us and he tugs at us and he invites us to repent and change how we think and change how we act. And after becoming a follower of Jesus, growing up on Navy bases, I had to change my mind about profanity. I used to be able to cuss beautifully before I gave my life to Jesus. And then I had to change that. I had to say, Lord, you know, this isn't pleasing to you. I need to work on this. And the Lord really leaned on my heart. New believers often had to repent or change their minds about what they do on Sunday morning. You get someone who just comes to Christ and they're used to sleeping in or going out on the golf course or doing something else other than worshiping God, and the Lord has to change their minds about that. Say, hold on, this isn't what we do. Or you become a believer, and sometimes Christians have to change their mind about their behavior. If you've got a short fuse, the Lord may work on that and say, you know what, your temper isn't consistent with who I want you to become. Or we become a believer and we learn that our bodies belong to the Lord and that our bodies are a temple of the Holy Spirit. And so the Lord convicts us to change what we do with our bodies, what we put into it, and how we treat it, and then what we do with our bodies. And we think differently about it, don't we? You know, as followers of Jesus, we're going to be different from the people and the culture around us. Remember, Christ said that most people are on the highway to hell. And if you're not on that highway, you're going in the opposite direction. I remember I went to a rock concert with my kids this summer. I usually don't do that, but we found a shortcut, but it was going against everybody going in the same direction. So there were a bunch of us going against a massive crowd, and they were all coming against us, and it was really difficult to go. And as Christians, we're going to find ourselves going in the opposite direction of which way most people are going. And people will notice, and the temptation is to fit in and to blend in with the world that is perishing. And so we're going to stand out. We're not going to be like everyone else. In Ezekiel 9, Ezekiel received a message of judgment against Israel, and especially the city of Jerusalem. And the reason that they received this message of judgment is because they'd picked up all the practices of the world around them. They had abandoned God. They were involved in Baal worship. They were involved in the sexual practices of all the people around them. They were doing all the evil that the people around them were doing. But in the middle, where most of Jerusalem had turned away from the Lord, there were still a few who were still walking with the Lord. And in Ezekiel, in the passage I read today, I don't know if it's symbolic or it's a spiritual thing that's being done here, but he says, go through Jerusalem and put a mark on the foreheads of all the people who grieve and lament the evil that is going on in the city. And when judgment comes, I'm going to notice those people who've not gone along with the crowd, who've decided to orient their life in my direction, who've decided to walk in the way that I want you to walk. And I, you know, and getting that mark on the forehead, that's sort of what we're doing tonight with the marking of the ashes. In the Old Testament, a sign of repentance was to put ashes on your head or to sit in the ashes. We're not going to sit in the ashes here. We don't have enough vacuum cleaners. But Job, when he was repented for his sin, he sat in the ashes and put sackcloth on. The king of Nineveh covers himself with ashes and sackcloth in order to say, Lord, I've changed my mind about what we're doing here. I'm changing direction. I'm not going to keep going in this way. Or the Israelites in the book of Ezekiel and Isaiah, they throw ashes on their head as a sign that we're sorry, but we're changing our mind about the direction we've been going. We're not going to do this anymore. Instead, we're going to walk with you now, Lord. Daniel puts ashes on his head and grieves. Mordecai in the book of Esther, when it seems like trouble is coming, he gets before the Lord and he put ashes on his head and he prays. They're all signs of repentance. It's an old sign. It's not something that was invented in the, you know, in the medieval ages. This is something that goes back to the Old Testament way long time ago. As we begin this season of Lent, I want to give you a little bit of a challenge. In what area of your life do you need to repent? Do you need to change your mind? You've been doing things one way, and you know, it's maybe questionable. It may not be what the Lord wants you to do. But you know, you need to change, you need to repent, which means you need to change how you think about it and align your thinking with how the Lord wants you to think about it. And as you change your mind, as you repent, then let your life follow that change of heart that you've decided to embark on. And to change your mind, it's the Holy Spirit working on you to get you to do it, but ultimately it's an act of the will. It's an act of the will. It's your decision that I will walk with the Lord. I will change how I'm doing here. And with the power of the Holy Spirit to empower you to repent and to change, that transformation will take place. Don't pick more than one area. If you pick too many, you won't do it. Pick one area of your life where you need to repent and say, Lord, I give up my right to do this. I give up my right to think this way. I lay it on the altar, Lord. And I walk away from that, and I'm gonna live how you want me to live. So as you come up, I hope that you'll be thinking in that sort of way. And I'll repeat the scripture, from dust you came, to dust you shall return. You, those of you that are Old Testament readers, you know that comes from the very beginning of Genesis, don't you? You know what it is, don't you? It's the curse of sin. Because we turned our back on the Lord, death comes into the world. And the ashes on our forehead reminds us of the penalty of sin that we need to repent of, that we need to turn away from, that we need to change our thinking about. And it shows us the need to repent. So as you come forward, think of that one area of your life, and I challenge you to tell the Lord that you intend to change your mind about what you've been doing or what you've been thinking. It's going to be different for every one of us and personal. And if you really want to get serious, write it down somewhere, or maybe make it a little bit cryptic in case someone finds it. But depending on what you're having to repent from, but write it down so you can be reminded that at the beginning of Lent on Ash Wednesday, here on this day, you made a covenant with the Lord that things are going to change in this one part of my life that I've withheld from the Lord. Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you for your deep love for each person here. Lord, as we take the ashes, it's a symbol. It's just oil and ashes. But what really matters more than that visible sign is the what happens in the heart and what happens in the mind. And so as we come forward, I pray that those conversations with you and those thoughts about you would take place as we come to the front and receive that visible sign of repentance. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.